Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guests for this segment are Joel Bittner, he's the district manager, and Megan Lovano, she's the public information officer for the Placer Mosquito and Vector Control District. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
On the website, placermosquito.org, it says you manage risks from vector-borne disease to protect public health and quality of life in Placer County. So let's start there, if you don't mind. What is a vector-borne disease?
Vectors, in this sense, are any organism that can transmit a pathogen that causes a disease in humans. In Placer County, we have mosquitoes and ticks, and then we also add on yellow jackets, which don't carry disease, but they can definitely cause harm.
What's the district celebrating?
So we're really excited. This is actually our 20th anniversary this year.
Nice.
So yeah, the district was started in 2001, and we're celebrating not only California Mosquito Awareness Week, but also our 20th anniversary.
Fantastic. Well, let's get into a little bit of background. How did the district get started?
It's an interesting question. I would say that the district started with the need for mosquito control, and that actually goes back way back to like the 1900s. The district wasn't around, but there were a lot of mosquitoes and diseases like malaria. Fast forward to the early 1990s, that's when the district actually formed on paper, but it took until 2001 to get funding, and our first general manager, who started the district really in his apartment with a few staff members. Since then, we've grown to
22
staff members.
Wow.
Providing services through the whole county. We have a substation up in Truckee and our main headquarters here in Roseville, and we do basically comprehensive mosquito and vector control, public health protection for the residents of Placer County.
We have a unique way to fight mosquitoes in my family. We just bring my brother Michael wherever we go because for some reason they all go right to him. You find that to be pretty common?
Yeah, it's like a sentinel person. You just let them all go after that one person, right? Mosquitoes are weird. They primarily are attracted to carbon dioxide, which we breathe out, and to heat, because they seek blood meals, the female mosquitoes only. And some people have some other chemicals or odors from them that maybe only mosquitoes can smell that make them extra attractive to mosquitoes. That's definitely a thing, unfortunately.
Unfortunate for Michael, but great for the rest of the family.
Right.
What kind of changes have you guys made over the years at the Placer Mosquito and Vector Control District?
When I started with the district in 2009, we had been operating out of a double-wide trailer up in Lincoln, really just kind of starting the basics of providing services. Over at least the past 10 years or so, we've really kind of come into our own. We're the newest independent mosquito district in the state. That's given us some opportunities to figure out how to do some new things with some new technologies. Today, we operate out of our facility in Roseville. We have an in-house biosafety level 3 laboratory that we do all of our testing. We have really, really effective turnaround time, so we can trap mosquitoes, figure out if they're carrying West Nile, and then go out and do something about it in about 24 hours during the summer. That's something we're very proud of. We're on the cutting edge of data analysis and visualization, trying to take in all that information that we get in order to assess what the risks are to our people and then do something about it. And then we're even using things like drones and robots to speed up our operations, make us more efficient and effective at providing these important services.
The magic of drones these days, right?
Yeah, right.
Not just drones, though, but describe some of the other technology and innovation improvements you guys have made.
A whole bunch of different technology. Mosquito control in general is kind of born out of necessity, and we've taken a lot of technologies and the insect traps or the test procedures, or even, you know, going from dipping water and fighting larvae and figuring out what to do about it from other areas like agriculture. We've adapted that. So mosquito control as a whole has a long history of innovating and creating their own equipment and techniques. And we've taken that maybe to the next step. Really our database and our data analysis system where we can make really important science-driven decisions about control is really important. We just opened something we like to call the Innovation Engineering Lab. We have a couple folks on our staff who are very talented at dealing with 3D printing and electronics and things like that. We've been able to actually make our own gadgets to help us, say, make our traps work better. So they only attract mosquitoes during the times that we want them to instead of all day long. So we're being more efficient, effective at what we're doing, and we're doing our jobs better. That's really what we're always striving for.
Absolutely. Yeah. One thing I know from working with you guys through the years is that mosquitoes are attracted to standing water. So one of the smartest things we can do around the house is get rid of the standing water, right?
Yes. And get rid of it permanently. Don't leave it out, especially after rain, which we haven't been seeing much rain and we're seeing really warm temperatures. So mosquito activity is peaking a little bit for this time of year. But yeah, getting rid of that standing water and practicing that now before we get into the summer months is super important. As well as using an EPA-registered repellent, which is what you hear from us every single summer. You know, not just any repellent, but an EPA-registered repellent, which means it has a EPA-registered ingredient like DEET or picaridin, and there's a whole list of those ingredients on our website.
If you're going to put on the mosquito spray, you want to make sure it works, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I just want to remind everyone that water is where those mosquitoes' eggs are, and then they hatch into, you know, little mosquito larvae, and then they turn into adults. So just because you've done a good job at taking care of the water on your property, those mosquitoes that you see may be coming from far away. It really depends on the species of mosquito and the time of year. We see lots of, depending where you are and what time of year it is, you could be experiencing, you know, a handful of different species. So make sure you let us know if you're seeing mosquito activity, because we can help you figure out whether it's something that you need to do on your property or it's something that we're handling kind of on a more community-wide basis.
How many different types of mosquitoes are there?
In Placer County, we've detected over the years over 30 different species.
No way.
It's amazing.
That
yeah.
blows
I mean,
my...
We go from sea level to the top of the Sierras, depending on where you are at and what time of year. If there's standing water and it's warm enough for mosquitoes to be flying around, you'll find something. It's pretty exciting.
Tomorrow starts Mosquito Awareness Week. What's the mosquito activity in Placer County right now?
Great question. If you're down in the valley and you're enjoying this beautiful weather, you're also going to be sharing the outdoors with mosquitoes enjoying the beautiful weather. We
right.
have a lot of tree hole mosquitoes, which are ones that basically overwinter as eggs in holes in trees or natural containers that hold water. And as that water drains down, they will hatch. They'll go through their life cycle really quick and then come out in kind of large swarms. Folks, especially around wooded areas, see lots of mosquitoes all at once. They're probably those tree hole mosquitoes. The good news about them is they do not carry vector-borne diseases, but they are quite annoying and they do bite. Submit a problem report on our website if you're having those. Also, if you're a little higher up in the mountains, I know we just had some snow, but as that snow starts to melt again, there are other mosquitoes called snowmelt mosquitoes that kind of behave the same way, only instead of out of tree holes, they're coming out of these the pools of water that are left by the snow. Same deal there. They don't carry disease, but they are aggressive biters, and you can put in a problem report and we can see what we can do about that. For both of those, after that water dries up, they will pass. They'll go away until next year.
Excellent. That's one thing that I didn't realize either, is that if I've got a mosquito issue, I can just call you guys and you're going to help me solve it.
We'll do our very best. Unfortunately, we're dealing with nature and we can't fix everything, but we'll do our very best to do that.
We'll do battle with Mother Nature, but she normally wins.
Absolutely. We can only keep her in line, hopefully, a little
right.
bit.
You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guests this morning are Joel Bittner and Megan Lovano from the Placer Mosquito and Vector Control District. PlacerMosquito.org is that website where you've got all that great information. What was the West Nile activity like last year, you guys?
Every year we have some mosquito activity that we detect in the mosquitoes and in dead birds and things like that. West Nile and other vector-borne diseases are good because we can actually detect them in the mosquitoes and in the environment before they get into people. So that's where we try to focus our attention. Last year and the year prior had relatively low mosquito activity. Unfortunately, drought years tend to have higher West Nile activity because all of the mosquitoes and the birds and the people are all kind of together around those scarce water resources, and that creates kind of this perfect storm for disease transmission. So This year, we're hoping that this won't be the case, but if we see drought conditions, we're going to probably see higher than normal West Nile incidents, which just means that you're going to hear more from us in terms of reminders to wear repellent and protective clothing, especially around dawn and dusk. And then we'll be out trying to prevent those adult mosquitoes from hatching or emerging through some of our larval mosquito control measures. And then we might even have to do some more adult mosquito control to knock down those populations of biting mosquitoes that are carrying West Nile during the season.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about science and modern technology is you guys can see, you can anticipate where the problems are going to be, and you can get out there and hopefully solve that issue.
That's our goal. It's sometimes harder than you might think, but that's what we try to do.
So we talked about the West Nile activity last year. Did you notice a difference during a pandemic? Did that make any difference last year?
It didn't make a difference to the mosquitoes.
They didn't know any better.
They didn't know any better, but one of our concerns was that with people staying at home more, spending more time in their yards and gardening and those sorts of things, that we might see a higher exposure of people to these mosquitoes. I'm assuming that that did happen. Fortunately, I think either people were being really good at managing their water and wearing repellent or a combination. We didn't see a big spike in human cases of West Nile, but it really kind of depends on the specific location and the timing. You could just get really unlucky and get one of these infected mosquitoes biting you. So we're really trying to manage this on a risk basis and minimize that risk as best we can.
The district not only works with mosquitoes, but what other kind of vectors do you guys control?
We do some control with yellow jackets. They're not true vectors in the sense of transmitting disease, but we will remove nests and do some yellow jacket control if they're in populated areas. We also spend a lot of time monitoring tick and tick-borne disease levels in the environment. We don't have good tick control methods that would be appropriate for the environment, meaning if we wanted to try to go spray ticks, we would end up killing a lot of things we don't want to kill.
Right.
So we don't do that. But what we do is we monitor the risk, and then we let people know if they're out and about how to protect themselves from ticks and tick bites and getting the ticks off of you if you have them on you, that sort of thing. And then finally, we also support the State Department of Public Health when they do work with rodent-borne diseases like plague and hantavirus. They're not super common, but when they do, we go assist with surveillance of the rodent population and flea population and help out with that effort.
Definitely keeping you busy, for sure. What's the latest on invasive mosquitoes?
In 2020, we did not detect invasive mosquitoes in the county, which our first and initial detection was in 2019. Kind of gearing up for the summer, we don't know if we are going to be detecting them this summer. And if we do, that's something that we will be communicating with the public as soon as possible to let them know if we do find these mosquitoes. So in 2019 was when we found an Aedes aegypti mosquito, which has the ability to transmit diseases like yellow fever, Zika, chikungunya, and dengue, which is extremely concerning from a public health standpoint.
Right.
So we kind of went into emergency mode, eradication mode, and did what we can to limit the emergence of more. And in 2020, we didn't find any. So we're hopeful, but in 2020, a lot of surrounding districts had their first initial detection. We're kind of on a wait and see what happens this summer, and we'll be doing everything we can to go into eradication mode again, and then from there, keep the public involved in our activities with invasive mosquitoes.
Something to keep an eye on, but nothing to worry about yet.
Not just yet.
Excellent. You guys are celebrating your 20th anniversary, so where do you see the district heading in the next 20 years?
Hopefully I'll be retiring in the next 20 years. But just speaking personally, I've spent over a decade here at the district trying to keep us on the cutting edge and developing and really, again, trying to do our best to protect public health.
Right.
I would like to leave this place better than how I found it.
Sure.
And I think that means a bunch of things. One is we need to be adaptable. Placer County is growing quite rapidly. How we deal with vector control in agricultural areas versus urban areas is really quite different. As that ratio changes, we're going to have to adapt with it and be ready to deal with people coming in from other places, new development, and so forth. So that's one. Another one is our climate is changing quite a bit. Even since I've been here, we've noticed that West Nile and vector mosquitoes are moving higher up in elevations. We have had West Nile detections and even human cases as high up as Auburn. So if that continues, we may need to make some adjustments on how we manage those species in different parts of the district. And then finally, really, it's going to be maintaining a great team of staff. We employ folks from all sorts of different backgrounds. We have PhD scientists to folks who have been working in the field and talking to residents and checking those standing water sources, and professionals like Megan and others trying to just pull all those resources and talents that we need to make this work. So maintain that and then continue to take advantage of that technology and new opportunities to help us continue to do a good job and protect folks.
Yeah, I live in Auburn, so priority one is to keep mosquitoes out of Auburn. So just so you know.
Yeah, you guys got a lot. We'll be working on that.
I appreciate that. Another thing I noticed on the website, too, is you guys are doing some hiring. Tell me a little bit about that.
We are. Yeah, we're hiring for four different seasonal positions. So we annually hire seasonal positions, and we're looking for great, qualified, hard workers that want to come protect public health in Placer County. And I have to add this little plug, but I'm hiring a social media intern, someone who wants to work and make TikToks and Instagram posts with me all summer. Probably someone either home from college or just graduated high school would be a great candidate. And we would absolutely love to have some new faces on our team. And they're all paid positions.
Excellent.
So, yes,
okay. Yeah,
apply.
And they can apply at placermosquito.org and get all the details, right?
Yes, exactly. And I wanted to kind of tack on to what Joel was saying about the next 20 years,
sure.
But we are having kind of a virtual celebration next week online where we're giving residents and just the public in general an inside look on our district. So each day we're going to be sharing a different video that has information on our staff, our activities. We even are posting a podcast that we're doing with a historian who wrote the Mosquito Crusades book that has a lot of information on the history of mosquito control in Placer County. So it's just an opportunity to continue to provide the public with information on what we do, how we serve them, how we're continuing to innovate and make our activities more efficient for them. So I really encourage everyone to watch one or two of our videos on placermosquito.org/20 years.
I love talking with you guys because every time I learn something and you scare me at the same time. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Joel Bittner is the district manager, Megan Lovano, the public information officer for the Placer Mosquito and Vector Control District. And that website, once again, placermosquito.org. Thank you both for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doug.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, email sacpsa@odyssey.com, sacpsa@audacy.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Stay safe, stay connected, and thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.